I think it was Matt Chandler, Amber's or Andy, one's always sending me something to listen to. It's like, Daddy, you don't know enough, and I don't. And so they're trying to help me out, you know. Oh, okay. Well, anyhow, she shared something with me, and I knew I was supposed to listen to it. But Matt Chandler did a great job at telling us and encouraging us. And I think it was Albert Moeller that I listened to, the president of Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, the first Southern Baptist seminary among Southern Baptists dating way, way, way back. But the president of that seminary was talking about families and said, you know, we've got a lot of churches today. The first thing they do is when they get to church is try to find out where to send their kids. You know, get rid of the kids, you know, so adults can have adult worship, you know. And he said, that's a terrible mistake, and I agree with him. I don't have any problems with children worshiping and youth worshiping, but I'm going to tell you, there needs to be family worship. And these kids learn a lot more than you think. I'm not necessarily voting for everybody bringing toys to the church for the kids to play with, but I'd rather see a kid in church with a toy playing than a kid not in church, or a kid, you know, thinking he has to be rushed out of here because he's four. I think that kids, before they ever get old enough to put their feet on the floor, ought to be worshiping with us as in our family worship, because they learn a lot more than you'll ever imagine. And when kids are doodling, that doesn't mean they're not listening. And so I love kids and worship. And as believers in Christ, we ought not to get so upset when kids are wiggling. I mean, listen, if you want to hear a word from Jesus, ask God to speak to you. And you can overcome. Now, if your kid is screaming and hollering and throwing things and breaking things in worship, please kind of help get them out there in time to take care of them and teach them a thing or two and then bring them back. But I love kids in worship, and I'm glad you're in worship. And I love when kids participate in worship. And I love when parents spend time with their kids to teach them how to worship. I think that's more important than teaching them to play football or basketball, teaching kids to worship. And so thank you for all of you that do that. I want to do one thing, and then I'm going to share a little bit more about Mexico, if you don't mind me doing that. This morning, I shared with you, when Jesus spoke to his mother, he said, "Woman, what does that have to do with us?" And the word he used and the context of how he used it, it was a rebuke of mom, okay? Jesus was correcting his mom. I'm going to tell you something. When I was a kid, that didn't work very well. If my dad saw me correcting my mom, I was going to get corrected for correcting mom. I assure you. But we got to remember who was doing the correcting. It was the Son of God. It was God the Son. And if God the Son had not corrected his mom, she would have gone on in error. You understand that? Listen, folks. Wrong needs to be corrected no matter who it is. People need to understand the Word of God. And Jesus saw his mama assuming that her being his mother, she could tell him what to do. And there's no doubt she had told him what to do a lot. Okay, over the years when he was a child, go out, carry out the trash, you know, sweep the floor and that sort of thing. But there was a time and a place that the Lord Jesus was going to reveal himself, and there was a time and a place that Jesus was going to do the work that God had called him to do. And Jesus was going to follow the Father's will, and mom was kind of getting at a place that she might have been going to speed that up a little. So if you don't understand the relationship of Mary as a person to the Son of God or God the Son, there are several scriptures in the Word of God that help us come to see that. Now, I want us to go, and I want to look at some scriptures real quick because I do want to get back to a few things about Mexico. In John chapter 8, verse 28 through 30. Now, you understand, this John is the same John that's writing and telling this story, and the same John that revealed the rebuke of Jesus, of his mother. And in the 8th chapter of John, John is showing how Jesus absolutely was bound to his Father's will. Jesus, the Son of God, or God the Son, was absolutely bound to the Father's will. Jesus did not have a will other than the Father's will. Now, this is kind of above me. It may not be above you, but how Jesus can be God, just as much God as the Father is, and just as much God as the Holy Spirit is. They're three, but they're one, one God. And yet Jesus, in humility, submitted himself to the Father, and Jesus did nothing but do the Father's will. Nothing. Jesus never did anything that wasn't the Father's will for Jesus to do. And so in John chapter 8, verse 28 through 30, and I'm going to go quickly. So Jesus said, "When you lift the Son of Man up, then you will know that I am He." And listen to what he said. "I do nothing on my own initiative." Even the turning of the water into wine wasn't Jesus' will. I mean, it was, but it was his will because it was whose will? The Father's will. Jesus didn't do it because it was his mother's will. Was it his mother's will? Yes, it was. She wanted him to do it. And she wanted him to do it because you're my son and you can do this. So, but Jesus didn't do it because it was Mary's will. Jesus did it because it was the Father's will. He said, "I do nothing on my own initiative. I speak these things as the Father taught me, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." Now, I want us to go quickly because this next verse kind of goes with that verse. Back in the 5th chapter of John, verse 17 through 20. Now the Jews were unhappy with Jesus because he was healing and doing things on the Sabbath. In verse 17, he answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." He said, right up to this moment, the Father's working, and I am working. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God, and he is. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these, so that you will marvel. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wills." Now, I want you to know that Jesus absolutely, completely surrendered his will to the Father's will and only to the Father's will. Y'all saw that in the Word of God, right? You can go back and look in those verses and see that what I said this morning is biblically verified. I want you to look with me to Luke chapter 11, verse 27 and verse 28, because this is going to correct the error of Catholicism about Mary. I've got two passages of Scripture that correct the error of thinking that Mary has some special privilege or some special personhood because she gave birth, a physical birth, to Jesus. Luke chapter 11, Jesus in verse 27 and verse 28. While Jesus was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." No special benefits for Mary, who gave birth to the Son of God, who let him nurse as a child upon her breast. That gained her nothing. But he says, on the contrary, this is who's blessed. It's those who hear the word of God and do what the word of God says. Y'all see that in the word of God? Folks, I'm telling you, there is no place to worship Mary. Mary doesn't have some special power then or now. You know, there's a lot of people say that, you pray to Mary because if you pray to God and he doesn't answer you, then you go to his mama. That is heresy. Now, it is true, if you ask your mom and daddy for something and you don't get it, then go to grandmama. I'm afraid that's true. But that, it is heresy to say if you don't get what you want by asking the Father or asking Jesus, you ask Mary. That's heresy. Mary was a lost, needing salvation, needing forgiveness of sin person, just like you and I. But let's look at Mark chapter 3, and so we can wrap that up, okay? Mark chapter 3. I sure would like to have been able to preach this down in Mexico City, or down in Carretera, Mexico. Someone said, "Did you do any street preaching?" I wanted to do some street preaching, but I'm going to tell you, street preaching for me wouldn't work until I learned Spanish. You know, I could have gathered 500 people there, and two of them wouldn't have understood very much at all that I said. Had our hotel owner not spoke English, we'd have been in serious trouble. When I got ready to order breakfast in the morning, I learned one new Mexican word while I was down there. I now know what tocino means. Y'all know what tocino means? Yeah. Rosin's already heard. Our menu in our hotel, and our hotel was an amazing hotel. Just 18 rooms, but it was 18 amazing places. It was 300, 200, 300 years old building, and the only thing modern in it was our bathrooms. I guess the bed was, but you had a mattress about this thick on concrete, and it's still kind of firm. Now, the bathroom was as modern as any bathroom you can get, but in the morning, every morning they brought us three different kinds of fruit, mango, papaya, pineapple, or something. Every morning, big bowl of it. If I went by myself because Karen wasn't up, they got me a big bowl. If we both went, they brought us a big bowl. If I ate and got through and then Karen showed up about time they cleaned my plate up, they brought her another big bowl. and a bowl of yogurt and a bowl of granola and orange juice and coffee. And then they brought you a menu to order off of. And the menu on one side was English and the menu on the other side was Spanish. And exactly the same. It looked exactly the same except the words. So you looked at what you wanted on the English side and you flipped it over and you pointed to that what you wanted on the Spanish side because the waitresses, they didn't speak no English. And I wanted some bacon and my meal didn't come with bacon. So I pointed to what I wanted and then I pointed to the other side where bacon was, and this on this side, the word tocino was on the other side, and I pointed to tocino. But I guess she thought I pointed to the menu, and so she brought me my menu and the other menu. But anyhow, I figured that out. So the next day when I ordered my meal, I said, want this and tocino. She said, tocino. And I said, yeah, tocino. And she brought me bacon. It really worked, and I was really proud of my Spanish career. I don't know how I got off on that because I want to talk about Mark chapter 3 and then I'll talk about that. Mark chapter 3, verse 32 through 35. A crowd was sitting around him and they said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. Answering them, he said, who are my mother and my brothers? Looking about at those who were sitting around him, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers. The followers of Christ, the people that were following Christ. He said, they said, your mother and your brothers are outside. He said, who are my mothers and my brothers? And he looked at his followers and said, this is my family. These who have believed in me, these who have left their life to follow me, that's my family. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Now, he wasn't saying that Mary didn't give physical birth to him. But what he was saying is, the family of God is not a physical birth thing. Not even the mother, Mary. She is not rightly related to me because she gave physical birth to me. She's rightly related to me because she put her faith in me as God the Son who came to die on the cross for your sins. The error of Catholicism is that the woman that thought Mary was blessed because she had given birth, that era is propagated all over the world today, mostly for financial reasons and control. But be that as it may.